Several years ago, several women commandeered the local religious radio station to offer a regularly scheduled program which seemed to have no other purpose than to determining what God's will was. It is one thing to pray, "Thy will be done," and quite another thing to ask for the specifics. The theme of the book of Job is the failure of the human quest to enter into the hidden recesses of God's mind to determine what's in store for anyone. Jesus gave us the meaning of the petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," when he put himself entirely into God's hands without demanding to know the details. But of that day and of that hour knows no one, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. Faith means accepting the hand we are dealt, even in the most ordinary things of life. James says, "Don't ever say that tomorrow we will go and do this or that, or go into this or that city," without adding the words, "unless the Lord wills." I can preach a sermon about Christians keeping their hands off the future because I am not a member of the seminary's Committee for Strategic Planning or Curricular Review. And I am not particularly eager to share my expertise or experience in these matters with them. The late presidents of this seminary, Jack and Robert Preuss, were strong leaders precisely because they took the future into their hands. They often quoted Stekart, who supposedly said, "What don't start small don't end up big." Whether the Missouri Synod's premier exegete ever said anything remotely resembling this is questionable, but without plans, nothing happens. Churches need leaders, and leaders without visions are not leaders. When some pastors were in Antioch and they were rehearsing the words of Jesus to themselves to make disciples out of all the pagans, they had the insight to send Barnabas and Paul on the church's first full-scale missionary enterprising, not knowing that they would be jailed and shipwrecked, or that their assistant, John Mark, would cut bait and run. We don't know the future, and every attempt to adjust the future must end with the warning, Deo volente, only if God wills it. Even reasoned unbelief knows that the future belongs to no human being. The best laid plans of mice and men are futile. Que sera, sera. The future's not ours, you see. Whatever will be, will be. In the hall of our Concordia College in Bronxville, New York, there's a painting of Abraham asleep on the ground, and out of his loins grows a tree with three branches for the three major religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Jews and Muslims claim descent from Abraham by blood. We Christians do not claim descent by blood, but by faith, though I suppose that most of us, if not all of us, are of mixed blood. We have the same kind of faith which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. This faith not only believes in God and that there is a God, but takes that God at his word without asking for the details. For many of you, air travel is necessary, and thankfully, air travel is much cheaper than it was a generation or two ago. But getting on a plane is still an act of faith. We never know whether we will reach our destination alive, but we know where we are going and we know when we are supposed to get there. Abraham had no itinerary. God simply told him to pull up stakes, sell the family business, leave the neighborhood, and to start heading north with no destination. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He accepted God's will without asking for details, and on account of that, he is called the father of the faithful. Several times, an understandably impatient Abraham tried to manipulate the future by trying to find for himself another heir, another son. But at heart, we are all synergists and want to help God stir the pot. The author of the Hebrews seems to have read Genesis because he knew that with the exception of a couple of overpriced burial plots, Abraham owned nothing. He, Isaac, and Jacob wandered around like refugees, immigrants in a foreign land, nomads with tents but without houses. Sometimes visiting dignitaries visit our classes. When the late New Testament scholar C.S. Mann visited our campus, our late colleague, Dr. Waldemar Degner, graciously invited him to address his class. Mann said that Jesus did not expect that God would raise him from the dead. I was relieved that C.S. Mann did not say that in my class. For years, this outrageous statement upset even those who were not there to hear it and could have hardly been aware of the context. But if homo factus means anything, it means that Jesus, who was in every way God, put aside his divine knowledge of the future, and like Abraham, placed himself squarely in the hands of God. Jesus obeyed God and went to Jerusalem, only knowing that Jerusalem had a history of killing the prophets, and that he would be no exception. Like Abraham, Jesus believed that beyond the grave, God had promised him and all the faithful a more excellent city. And because of Jesus' perfect submission to God's will, God exalted him to his right hand and gave him a name which is above every other name. Faith, in its purest form, does not attempt to enter the hidden inner recesses of God's mind to know the future, nor to manipulate it. In the 5th century, Roman legions were called back from Great Britain to fight on the Eastern Front, thus exposing native British peoples to marauding Irish pirates. A certain Christian boy by the name of Patrick was captured and put into slavery in Ireland. He could not have possibly known what God's will for him was. Why not, like Job, curse God and die instead of watching the sheep of his hated foreign captors? He escaped to England and traveled to France to be ordained a priest and then consecrated as the first missionary bishop to Ireland. And like Abraham, St. Patrick became the father of the faithful. As the lights were going out in Christian Europe, Irish monks kept the fires of faith alive, and after 400 years brought the light of Christ back to the European continent. Not only is attempting to know God's will in our lives an act of unbelief and unfaith, it seems to overlook the fact that God knows more than we do and that His will embraces things that we can never imagine. 10 years ago, the Western world thought it was approaching its own dark ages with the United States and the Soviet Union at each other's throat. Then, unexpectedly, Christians in our country and in Russia and Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Finland found each other. And in this chapel, we have men and women from Haiti, Africa, South America, Europe, and Asia, who will return to establish and strengthen the church in their countries. Is this the story of Abraham, or is it the story of St. Patrick? Perhaps it's a little of both. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city which has no foundations, whose builder and maker is God.